Greatest community in Alachua. I heard we have 700 families, and a family means 3 members, 4 members, 5 members. I know there's a family where there are 11 children, Hare Krishna. This is the really very amazing family. So 600 families, not all have 11 children. And we had very nice programs and many garlands made from gardenia. That is a very fragrant flower down there. And yesterday we completed our stay in Alachua with a Vrindavan evening at the house of Bhadra Prabhu. With his and their talented children, were performing a very nice, emotionally really touching scene of when Radharani, after 100 years of separation, comes to Kurukshetra and sees Krishna there, who no longer is the cowherd boy of Vrindavan, the charming darling of the cowherd community, but who now is a prince and a king with a lot of influence and military in Dwaraka. When Radharani sees Krishna asked, "Have you forgotten Vrindavan and the Yamuna?" This was very nicely and movingly shown, or there was a performance with music, with dance, with theatrical expression. And and I'm coming now to your community, and it is the storm structure. We feel ready to fly to the spiritual world now. Already it is floating a little bit over the ground, I think. 2 meters or 3 meters have already been negotiated. So we are ready to move further. And I hope with my little seminar, it's only a lecture today and tomorrow evening, so you can easily attend. I hope to give you some good ideas about your own spiritual journey and spiritual growth. Good, so I would like to just sing Jai Radha Madhava briefly. I understand you have had kirtans already, so we'll do just briefly. Jai Radha Madhava Kunyavi Adi Adama Tava Kunya Vyadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vyadi Hari Gopi Jana Vallava Kiri Baradari Gopi Jana Vallava Kiri Varadhari Yasoda nandana Raja janaranjana Yasoda nandana Raja janaranjana Chamunatira vanachari Chamunatira vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Radha Golokananda Radha Golokananda Sri Radhe Jaya Radha Golokananda Radha Golokananda Sri Radhe Hare Krishna. Wow, here comes Sri Ram, the multi-technically informed. Sri Ram is here. No, this is a pleasure to see you. Maybe this also. What will you do? What will we do today? Is air this out to millions. Hopefully. Hare Krishna. I want to greet you once again affectionately. Let us now concentrate and focus on our subject matter. I also wish to greet the audience which Sri Ram is now serving on the internet. Our subject today will be called the Art of Transformation. Let me please preface this subject a little bit so that you know why this subject is there. It is the purpose of all spiritual cultures throughout mankind to effect a transformation of the heart. You know, when you do a spiritual process and you come home and you quarrel with your wife and punch your poor wife in the face, it means you have just meditated in the temple, but your heart has not been changed. You have come home and you have been, kept your issues in your heart. If you go to a spiritual movement and you make politics against another movement. You have remained a politician with a seeker. It is not a great achievement to just cut the hair. It is a greater achievement to cut the unwanted things, the anattas, out of the heart and attain a transformation of the heart. This is a very important. There's a statement which I would like to say, use by Srila Prabhupada. The whole process of spiritual culture, Prabhupada writes, is aimed at changing the heart. I would like also as an introduction to this program tell you a little story about a successful transformation which happened to me. I was a translator in our movement, and whenever our senior devotees would come to Germany and we would give public programs, I would sit in the back of the audience and translate from English into the German language. The participants or the guests who had come to the program who did not know English had earphones or earphones? Yeah, in their ears. And I would sit there, you know, where you are sitting with the wonderful Om shirt, and I would look at the person who would give the lecture and translate simultaneously in the German language, and they would have earphones. So once I remembered, I was translating, and all of a sudden, I stopped translating because I had just seen something which totally upset me. The lecturer was saying, what happened with our German translation? And even I couldn't answer him. I was just so shocked by what I had said. And finally I said, your translator almost died. What had I seen that upset me so much? At the very back of the hall was a young man. He had yellow hair. It was coming off in all directions. He was dressed in black leather. He had pointed shoes. And he was lying on the ground just before me, who was translating. And as he was lying, two kennel rats were just coming out of his leather jacket. Rats, kennel jacket, I do not know if you know the different types of rats. You can buy these pet rats. They are white and extremely beautiful. You can calm them for some people. I don't think they're beautiful. And then there are these disease-infected, big, monstrous, vicious, and mean rats who live in the canalization of the town. So the second brand had come out. He was carrying them as his pet animals everywhere. He was a member of Germany's dreaded punk scene. Rebels against the society and so on. And he had come to the program. I was really shocked when I saw the rats. I'd never seen this in my life. In our house, we did not have rats. And a human being. Then about half a year later, I went to the Goshala in our project Singhachalam, and someone came over to me. He was in an overall, that is a working suit, and he was totally covered with a cow dung, and because he was working with the cows, and he said, "Nice lecture, Maharaj. I heard it in the barn by some technical device. You know, it was broadcasted there." I said, "Oh, thank you. Who are you?" "Well, I used to live in Berlin. Do you remember me?" I said, "I'm sorry, you are so with cows and everything, you know. I can't see very clearly." Then he went to the thing, washed his face. I still couldn't remember him. Then he said, "I am that punk. I used to be the punk who was together with Mickey and Mousy, my two rats." I remember, I said, "What happened to you?" And he said, "The transformation of the heart." After the program, I started to chant. I took a Bhagavad Gita home with me, and I recited regularly the Bhagavad Gita, and I have now transformed my heart. I'm no longer considering myself a punk. Mickey and Mousy are somewhere else. I am now a devotee of Krishna. I have changed. I was extremely moved, because here was an example right before me, an example which I can quote this evening, of how someone who takes up the genuine process of Krishna consciousness can change his heart. I would like to recite a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Now would you kindly give this, which in my mind is very much very much about the transformation of the heart. It is found in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and it is verse 4 or 5. I will be able to tell you in a moment. Verse 5.
Nirmana moha nija sanga dosha. Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha. Adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama. Adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama. Dvantve vimukta sukha dukkha sange. Dvantve vimukta sukha dukkha sange. Gacchantya muda padamavyayam tat. Gacchantya muda padamavyayam tat.
In this 15th chapter, Krishna has explained that we are hopelessly entangled in the material world, which he compares with a banyan tree. Very entangling. And he advises us that we should use the sword of knowledge and cut the ropes of illusion which bind us to this world. And then he says how a person looks who has become free from the illusions of material life. He says, those who are free from false prestige, illusion, and false association, who understand the eternal, who are done with material lust, who are freed from the dualities of happiness and distress, and who, unbewildered, know how to surrender unto the Supreme Person attain to that eternal kingdom. I know that's a lot of information in one bite, so to say. Let us put it into bite-sized pieces. We must be free from illusion. We must be able to understand the eternal, and we must ultimately learn to surrender to Krishna, and then we can attain the kingdom of God. That's a clear transformation. Most of us are not free from illusion, but full of illusions. We do not understand the eternal. We think we are totally absorbed in the things which happen around us, which are true tomorrow and false, or true today and false tomorrow. And we don't usually surrender to the Supreme Person, but we surrender eventually to the needs of our family and so on and so forth. So this transformation happens, my dear devotees, to you when you can adopt a new identity, when you can adopt a new behavior in your life, when you have new thoughts and feelings, and when you value new things as more important than the old things. It's a total a transformation. And the scriptures give us an example. They say, as bell metal, which is copper, when mixed with mercury, can be turned into pure gold by a certain alchemical process. In the same way, a person, although he is not golden pure, can be transformed into a wonderful Brahmana simply by the initiation process. Yeah? Once again, in old times, you would take gold, copper, and you would change that copper with a certain alchemical process and turn it into pure gold. This is how each one of us should be turned into pure gold, into a pure soul, into a devotee who is full of bliss, full of knowledge, and who is also full of love for Krishna. This is the idea of the transformation of the heart. It is something very, very wonderful. And my dear devotees, I will already say this, this is only possible if Krishna helps. There's a verse which says, okay, you devotees, then continue ringing your bells. Continue to wave your incense. Continue to worship the Lord. But then don't protest when he takes you and brings you into his workshop and places you on the anvil. Don't protest when he takes the big hammer. Oh, our son of Padma needs for a moment the mother, I think. Padma, what helps is to just swing the baby around. This is this I have seen from mothers who have five children. They've told me, this is the best. Just move it. This young mother has to be instructed in. Yes, like that. Hopefully. You do very, very good. See? We never know. It could also, she could also, or he could really now shout like a bison in attack, you know. So, anyways. My dear devotees, don't be surprised if he takes you, the Lord whom you have called, into his workshop and then takes his big hammer and bangs upon you. Boom, boom, boom. Because he is determined to finally turn ordinary metal into pure gold. Well, you say Haribo here, but when the hammer comes, I know you devotees of Krishna, then you run to the Swamis and say, I'm suffering so much, help me, help me. The Lord has his hammer, and he has his way to educate us, to bring us to sense. And it is said, misery is the fastest chariot to God. It takes you just like this. He has other ways also, for instance, his beauty, his attractiveness, and so on. So transformation, that is a big subject, my dear devotees, in the Vedic scriptures, but it is not so easy. It is easy to change the hairstyle. It is easy to change the cloth. It is easy to change the vocabulary and no longer say hi, but Haribol. It is easy to make these external changes, but to change the heart means to change the identity and to change our desires. And here is the real testing stone for genuine spirituality. Have you become more gentle? Have you become more desirous to serve others than serving your own interests? Have you become more loving ultimately? These things must happen, and the art of transformation, the spiritual process of Krishna consciousness, is meant to affect these changes in the heart. Krishna consciousness, you could say, is a highly subjective process in the sense that it is something which must go on in the individual heart, in each individual heart. Krishna consciousness is not so much about what others do or don't do. Krishna consciousness is all about what you do, but what you and what you desire in your life. There is where you have to look. There is where you have to make your greatest effort. There is where you have to, where you either win or you are defeated in your own journey in the spiritual life. It is not so easy, and I would like to tell you about the yogi who lived on the hill. It is Sobari Muni, who lived just next to the sacred river Jamuna on the on a hill. And because he did not want to have any distractions, he went for his daily meditations inside the water, inside on the bottom of the Yamuna, and he meditated there all day. Yesterday, Manoram, Gokrishna, myself, saw a huge alligator. When he saw us, he was totally afraid. Yes, I was surprised. I thought it's the other way around. And he went to the bottom of the river, and we were informed he can stay there up to 4 hours. Now this yogi was staying at the bottom of the river of Yamuna for more than 10 hours each day, 12 hours. He was highly accomplished in mind control and sense control. Now, once it so happened that one of the fishes who used to pass by him when he was meditating was hunted down by Garuda. Garuda came, he was flying over the Yamuna, and then he just dove into the Yamuna and took the fish for his meal out of the Yamuna. And And this yogi felt very protective of the fishes in his area, and he was highly disturbed and said, "This cannot go unpunished. Garuda, I curse you. If ever again you should come to the area of Vrindavan and fish in the Yamuna, you will die." Now for us it is not good to eat fishes, but for Garuda, that is his food, ordained by nature. And the yogi had overseen this and had totally had become angry and upset for no good and justifiable reason. And for that mistake, he lost his spiritual potencies. He lost his mind control. And once it so happened, the two fishes began to meet. It was a highly romantic meeting for the purpose of procreation. And as he saw the two fishes engaged in the game, the eternal game of, what is it called, procreation, he developed great attachment to the opposite sex. Now, when a yogi loses the control of his mind and senses, he also cannot maintain his yogic practice, in his case, the stopping of his breath. And he had to come up from the water. And he thought, well, I have now this desire, what to do? I best go and get myself a wife. So he went to the court of King Mandata. Mandata, I don't know if you know, he had was a very powerful king. His son is the famous Ambarisha, Maharaj Ambarish, you have heard, no? And also he has other sons. One was a great yogi and the other was a great emperor. So he also had 50,000 daughters, not 50,000, 50 daughter. And so Bari Muni, this yogi who had developed material desires, knew this, and he went to Mandata and said, can you please give me one of your daughters in sacred marriage?" The king looked at the yogi. The yogi had been meditating for many, many, many years in the water. His body was covered with algae. Do we say in algae? His hair, woohoo! That was something else. Matted. His eyes looked fierce. Mandata said, "I don't know if this will work, if my daughters will, any of my daughters will like this appearance. They usually want a handsome husband with a good appearance, you know." So he said, diplomatically, because he didn't want to spoil his relationship with the yogis. Yogis can curse like anything. He said, "My daughters are free to choose their own husband. You may go into where they live, and if someone chooses you, then it is very good." Like this. So Subari understood. He is not impressed by my external appearance. No problem. He used his mystic potencies and vroom, looked as the most beautiful man. I estimate his looks like Michael Jackson, maybe. So really, really good. Good looking. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry, but he really changed. Just to give you well kept hair, good fragrance, elegant movements, everything. appealing voice. So when he walked into with his new looks, so to say, into where the princesses lived, all of them came out of their rooms on the balcony and looked at this person in their court and said, this man, all of them said, this man is fit to become my husband only. So Bari Muni said, no problem, and married all the 50 princesses. He established with his mystical potencies a beautiful park, and in that park, 50 palaces where he lived and visited with his princesses. This park happened to be just near to the Govardhan Mountain. Now, those of us who have visited Vrindavan, who has done so, if I may know? And Padma, of course, she has given an international lecture in Govardhan. Who of you has seen in Vrindavan the sacred mountain Govardhan? Oh, yes, there's everyone who went to Vrindavan. I think when we go to Vrindavan, we like to, it's almost compulsory for us to visit this best of mountains. It is said, when we stay next to Giriraj, our miseries are removed from our hearts, our ignorance is removed from our hearts, and we experience great transcendental happiness. We are building there, by the way, a retreat center so that all the devotees who like can come there, stay in a room and study the scriptures, chant the holy name, and go deeper in their spiritual life. It's called the Govardhan Retreat Center. We are just now building it. And 1 month ago, we have built already many buildings. One person from Mumbai, a disciple of His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, who owns a big marble company, has volunteered to put marble over the buildings. It will be extremely beautiful. Hare Krishna, you must see and visit. He lived there. And it must be because of the influence of this sacred mountain where Krishna is daily herding his cows that he changed in his heart. When he was old, he met his wives and he said, are we satisfied now? And his wives shook their head and said, no, we have enjoyed every possible material pleasure, but we are not happy. And then he said something very wise. One can never be satisfied by trying to enjoy material things. Just like fire never is satisfied if supplied with drops of fat. He said, we were on the wrong path. We tried to become satisfied by enjoying our senses with material opulences and so on. However, this is like pouring ghee or drops of oil into a fire. The fire only becomes bigger and demands more and more. So this is, I think, something which some of us, I know one person in the audience at least, has also experienced. This is not the way to become content. I remember today I did, after a wonderful, fulfilling lunch prasadam, a little walk, and there was one American lady who came out of her house to check the post box for a newspaper maybe or letters, I don't know. And she saw me, and I was unknown to this area, and she was a little shocked. My God, who is he? He's a monk. But I greeted her very kindly. I wish you a wonderful good day. And then she said, how are you? And I said, content. Then I wanted to ask her, are you content in your big house and with your big portemonnaie and your big money arrangements? But I refrained from saying it, because I noticed when I said, I am content, I was just chanting, why should I not be content? She was so shocked. Content? Is there something like a human being who is content? Is this existing? She was so shocked, because I felt her whole life was challenged. Here was a monk who doesn't own, I mean, many things. I have a bicycle, no mobile phone. And here is someone who has tried to buy everything. And the poor person says, I'm content. And she's wondering, what's about me? Am I content now? Is this an incontent? Yes. No. That happens when we are, you know, at least when we chant, and we can absorb ourselves then. So Bari could understand this. He was a yogi before. He was not identical with a gross materialist, although he had developed strong material desires, but he could not forget what he had learned as a yogi. And he said, one is never satisfied with material things, just like fire never ceases means stop, or if supplied with drops of fat. So he then, by the influence of Giriraj, engaged himself in bhakti, and very soon he gave up his material body. He was old by then, and went back to Godhead. And his wives, who believed their husband and who were loyal and chaste to their husbands, also did not return to their palaces and their old life, but they stayed in the forest of Braj, and they engaged in the processes of bhakti with faith and conviction. And at the end, they also returned back home, back to Godhead. What a wonderful story of a successfully completed transformation. But the story also teaches us how difficult it is to change the heart. You may externally become a yogi. You may even develop big mystic qualities like Sobari had developed. You may say Haribol and not hi any longer, or the hello. You may have the best Doti from Loy Bazaar, if your heart is not transformed, you have still to learn the main lesson. You may have become a great scholar, a great knower and interpreter of the Vedic scriptures. You may be a guru and a sannyasi. You may be anything, a successful beginner of various spiritual projects. But if your heart is not transformed, you are still bound to material illusions, and you still, you must be aware of that. So this process talks about, or this verse talks about, the process of transformation. And if you allow me, I will just look at my wristwatch without notice that anyone notices it, to see where we are with the time, how much I can stay. Good. I want to say, in our tradition, there is a five-fold process how you can transform yourself. Today I only want to talk about it briefly, and tomorrow I want to introduce you to some of the processes and work with you or do with you an exercise which will hopefully help you to transform more of your heart. But here is the theory. It's the process of initiation. This has five limbs. One is Urdhvapundra. Urdhvapundra means the person accepts that the way goes up to Krishna. Urdhvapundra, this is also signified by our tilak sign. You have seen this tilak sign. It is drawn from the root of the nose to the forehead, up to where the line of the hair starts. No? Urdhvapundra, the road which leads upwards. This is means the spiritual life. This is what you learn from scriptures like the Bhagavad Gita, etc. The second is, in order to reach your spiritual goal, it is very important that you engage in some austerities. In our movement for Krishna consciousness, we have four austerities. Three will not be very difficult for you. It's first, what was it? No intoxication, no eating of meat, no gambling, and no illicit sex. These are simple austerities which help you to remain fixed on the transcendental or spiritual goal. Then the next is yakya. You go to a sacred fire sacrifices and take the process of initiation. Then you nama and mantra. Nama is you chant the holy name, and mantra is you get some additional mantras over which you meditate. In this time and age, the scriptures hold that all these processes gather in one process. Who can imagine this process? Sankirtan means the chanting of the holy name, but not like most of you chant. It must be done properly, and tomorrow we will hear about this. But here, because it's the age of Kali, Krishna has put all the Shaktis, which are in austerities, in pilgrimages, in study, in sacrifices, he has put all the energies that purify the heart of a normal soul into one process that is the holy name. But it must be done properly. It is not done with absent-minded chanting alone. That is not then it is only partially effective. We will chant a little bit later, and hopefully we will all chant in an absorbed way. Let us see. So there is a process, this is my point, of spiritual transformation, an ancient process which is given. Here for today, I just want to give you one little idea which is necessary so that you don't take this class as the many other classes which you hear today and forget tomorrow. You must, if you want to transform, be a little bit more attentive. There are four steps which we have laid out for you, the dynamics of transformation in practice. I see our technical team is still working on the... So here it is. Padma, the air is too sticky. You must go from time to time out in the fresh air. Then it is good. Mm. Sannyasis learn all these things over the years. You can see the humid and sweat and the child is suffering. That's a certain sound they have when they... when it's too much for them. Mm. So... Mm. Build an intention that I wish to change something in my spiritual life. And the best way for us to build an intention is to think about one question. What will happen if you don't change? It's called the perception of a risk. What will happen if you go on, if you keep on doing the same things which you do? My dear devotees, you will get the same results as you get. And I think no one here in the honest, can say, I'm satisfied with this level which I have. I'm absolutely sure that tomorrow I will have love of Godhead, prema bhakti, and that I will become again, go back into the eternal spiritual world. If you forget the goal, my dear devotees, that you can actually live with God, play with God, eat with God, dance with God, if you forget that goal, you can be satisfied the way you are now. But if you remember the goal of Krishna consciousness, to come into the loving embrace of Vrindavan Dham, then you will see, oh, if I go on like this, if I don't change certain things, I will never reach there. A good definition of madness is to think I can keep on doing the same thing I'm doing now and get better or different results. It is very much not... no one who says like this has thought deeply about it. The next thing is you must prepare good conditions for your spiritual transformation. The conditions, my dear devotees, are as important as it is important to create good earth and a good climate and nice water so that a seed can grow. When you receive a powerful seed, the seed of Krishna conscious knowledge, you must plant it into good conditions. You must have very nice conditions of the heart. I would say a good time when you do your spiritual practices. Good spiritual practices where you know exactly what you are doing and you're doing it properly at the right time. You must seek out good association. You must stop clogging your mind. Clogging? Cluttering. Cluttering the mind with so many unwanted things and worries and anxieties and emotions. You must create good conditions. You all know from your reading in our scriptures and from coming to the many good lectures which are given in this temple that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compared Krishna consciousness with the seed which must be planted into the fertile ground of the heart. My dear devotees, there's something which I'm shy to say, but before coming to Krishna consciousness, I like to go into the theaters and and see dramas, Shakespeare and so on. I was a man of the theater, and it was quite expensive. So I had to work a little bit because my father would only give me a very small amount of money each month. He didn't want to spoil me. So I worked for some time as a gardener. I had an advertisement in the local newspaper. It said, "Dynamic young gardener transforms your garden into paradise." And I had no idea of gardening, nor did I even have gardening tools. I was only quite creative, and so I borrowed the tools for my grandfather. And whenever I had many deep, there was high demand on me. But I soon noticed, oh, it's a real science, because I came once to someone who wanted me to take care of their roses, and I did so. And after half a year, all the roses had died, and I felt terribly sorry. And then I was informed, so that good roses grow, you have to create a certain manure, it's called. A certain, what is the English word? Manure, yeah, earth, ground, with nourishing components, nourishing soil, yes. So otherwise, the plants will die. The same is with your bhakti lata, your precious bhakti. If you don't create good conditions in the form of good association, good behavior, good conduct, regular spiritual practices, the bhakti will become compromised, and later it might die. Yes. And then after you have built an intention to change and you have prepared good conditions, by all means, take action. Do something for your spiritual life. I always recommend to take small actions and not try to overburden yourself with something which is too big for you to do. Just take small actions, like for instance say, I will chant 4 very attentive rounds, and I will increase to 8 attentive rounds, and finally chant 16 minimum attentive rounds. No? And then you must know, when you take actions, you must do something to maintain your new habit. For instance, Gokrishna and myself have taken a vow to observe Purushottam months. That is, we chant and we offer something, and we take a sacred bath. If you want, tomorrow we can do a little bit of that. That would be nice, actually, if we do something. I think, yes, tomorrow is a day of practice in the transformation. We will do together a very powerful process where you will be transformed in 10 minutes, hopefully a little bit, yes. But we are today severely challenged. We had to race out of the house in Alachua. We had to jump into a car, drive in the sweltering heat to Orlando. Then the mayor of Orlando greeted us and wanted that we return to Orlando. It was a voice in the train. I took it very serious. And then we were on the airplane, and then we arrived, and we were already exhausted, and now we have not yet done our Purushottam Vrata. What it means is, when we have to now be very careful. We have started something, and to interrupt something which you start is not good. So we will do it before we go to bed. We will be very firm in our vrata. This is very important, that once you start something, you have to sometimes even fight to maintain your new spiritual habit. Otherwise, it will get lost. In this world, my dear devotees and my dear friends, we live in a culture of distraction. It's a predominantly material culture, or materialistic culture. So you must do something to maintain your vratas. It's a very important, very, very, very important. So these are the four dynamics of transformation. I want to end this class by inviting you into one practice. I call it, it is a practice I've taken out of the Bhagavad Gita, out of the fifth canto. It's really a fifth chapter. It's really about stepping a little back in your life and viewing your opportunities, what you can do. Are you willing to do this? Because I want to build an intention, help you to build an intention this evening, and then tomorrow when you come to the class, you are a little bit, you are prepared for this, where we will do something on transformation. I need to just discuss a little with Gokrishna. My dear devotees, when you look at your life, it is almost like looking on a painting. There's a house, there's maybe a working place. In one corner, there are certain relationships which you have. And just like a painter, you're constantly working on that painting of your life. Maybe a new house will come. Maybe new work will come. Maybe new relationships will appear in your life. Now, just like a painter who paints a painting needs to step back, go to the distance and see if everything is all right. You need to also step back sometimes from the painting of your life. Let me give you an example. If I look like this on this painting, this close, I can't tell you what's in the painting, really. I don't know if the pictures are in harmony, nor do I know if the perspectives are right. You know, other, and maybe there's something unnecessary in the painting. But if I look from a distance, I can see, well, this is already a finished painting, so the example is not so good, but let us say this would be an unfinished painting. I could see, oh, here the colors are not so good. Oh, this arm is much too short. And where's the shoulder? This needs to be fluffed out a little bit. And the horses are three times as big as the chariot which they are supposed to draw. So this I can only see when I step back and look anew from the distance. Is my example clear to you? In the same way, we all need to step back from time to time and look with a new perspective on our life to see where the proportions are not all right, to see where we do maybe things which are terrible wrong. We are in great illusion about something. Stepping back is very important for our to recognize new things. So I would love to ask you now to sit properly. We will just quickly do a few deep inhales and exhales. Let go of our busy life. We are in a wonderful temple, safe. Let us go through a typical day in our life. We get up. We take care of our hygienic needs. What do we do next? How do we do what we do next? Go to a few typical places which you visit each day. Maybe the kitchen, maybe your living room, for some of us the temple. See a typical situation, maybe a conversation with someone who's close, a situation at work or in the university. And now a day is over and we are at home or in the room. What is a typical situation there? Ask yourself now a question. How much Krishna is invited by us into these different situations of life? How conscious of Krishna or Krishna conscious are we really in all these situations? If Krishna is the true goal of our life, how mindful are we of this goal? And is there anything which we might like to improve? We will now turn to Krishna, chanting his holy name. And maybe as you turn to Krishna, you get a first-class idea what it is that you like to improve. It is this intention to change with this, which is most important if we want to transform the heart. Only when this intention is there, is there a possibility to fully utilize all of the wonderful opportunity for growth in Krishna consciousness. Oh. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Please, everyone, once again, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I would like to give you a little summary of this class. This was a class which focused on the essential principle in our spiritual process, that is the change or transformation of the heart. This is not a matter of accepting externally a spiritual culture which has different codes of behavior, external appearance, and so on. But it is something deeper which goes to, into the area which the Bhagavad Gita described. We need to become free of certain unwanted things like the attachment to our own gain, our prestige, our ego, And we need to ultimately come to the stage where we surrender to Krishna. This change of heart, this was the other idea, is possible by applying a spiritual culture, a spiritual process. Remember the text from the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which spoke about transforming ordinary metal into gold by a certain process. So the change of heart is possible by this process. However, only if you build a firm intention to do this and you create favorable circumstances and take small actions, that's called sadhana, spiritual practice, and do something to maintain your spiritual practice even when it is, when there are obstacles, like in Gokrishna, my life, we have a little problem this evening. We will have to stay up a little longer to do what we have set out to do. This natural. So good. I thank you very much. Tomorrow is actually in American language you would say the fun day, but that is only a hype expression. There we will be a little bit more practical and see what this could mean in our own life. I request you to come tomorrow. We will start when, Aditi Narayan?
6 o'clock to 6:30
is Kirtan. 6:30 we will start. Please come with British time, not American time, or let us say devotee time. We wish to come. We start at 6:30. Yes, 6:30. Now we will do something wonderful. I'm so glad that Amala Harinam is here. We will together do kirtan. We will request Amala Harinam. Yes. Yes. Oh, some questions. We have a little time, 10 minutes or so, for your well-considered questions. Sorry, I was with Ananta Gauranga and sorry, I'm a little bit tired today. Tomorrow I have a good rest from, and then I'm ready. Yes, please, this is what is called a senior moment when one is absent. Your good name, please?
My name is Kala Nipuna.
Yes. Yes, Kala Nipuna. Mm-hmm. Please ask your question.
Yes. Thank you so much for this heart-touching class. It really inspired me.
Thank you.
I wanted to, maybe I misunderstood. There were four steps on the dynamics of transformation, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I only have three.
Okay. So it is building an intention, preparing good conditions, taking action, and then maintaining the action. Maintaining. You have to, you know, be really there and maintain it. And when you fail, you have to catch yourself. It's you might ask, why is this an extra step? Well, anyone who sets out on a path of transformation knows that this might be the most important step, because it's easy to start something, but to maintain, whoa, you take up the whole material energy. But it is possible if you pray to Krishna, maintaining. This answers your question? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the inspiring class.
Thank you. Your good name, please. Your good name, please.
Oh, my name is Rishikesh Das.
Rishikesh.
Wow. Rishikesh Prabhu, yes.
My question is, how do I maintain the intention? You know, because life will go up and down because of my material energy. It will go ups and downs. So while I'm especially in this, in this way of dualities, how do I really maintain my intention and make me strong on it continuously? That's the challenge I'm facing in me right now.
You must have good association. See, when we are in good association, somehow an elevating energy comes to us, which brings us out of this up and down, this vicissitudes of life. This association is good. It should be association which is like-minded. Devotees who are on the same path as you. It should be association where there is affection also, because only then we can open ourselves up and ask for assistance. And if it's possible, it's good if it's slightly more advanced devotees than we are. So that association not only gives you the energy to maintain your practice, it often creates the most important ingredient of spiritual practice, that is taste. When there's taste, everything is so easy. But when there is no taste, everything is a struggle. Even the good things can become a struggle when there is no taste for them. So in good association with good-hearted devotees, that association, that gives taste. And sometimes we may not be able to find that every day in our immediate surrounding. Then we may take to this very, very nice technological means, that is, listen to recorded lectures. That's what I very often do. And try to go into the... Some say, well, the recordings, what will happen with the recordings? Well, yeah, if you have that attitude, nothing will happen to you. but if you really make that point that I want to learn, then Krishna, who is not limited, he's present everywhere, will, through the words of the devotees, imbibe that knowledge in your heart, and then it is very powerful. I have profited a lot from listening to Srila Prabhupada's recorded lecture. I remember once I had just a surgery where there was a big mistake done by the surgeon. I almost died. The surgery was harmless, but the infection which came after it, wow. And so I needed time out to just have an extremely regulated life, not travel, walk every day. And I remember once, so I was taking maximum care of the body for rejuvenation. I remember I always had this one of these little recording devices, and I listened to a lecture of Prabhupada. One technically inclined devotee put everything up, set up, and I just need to put the things in and walk. And the Prabhupada in this lecture, he said, he asked a question to his audience. He asked something which I will tell you in a moment. So I still remember I was walking at that time in the mountains through fog. And I thought my whole life is like fog. You know, I don't see my way. Maybe I will never be able to travel again. I'm so weak and so thin and so wasted. And then Prabhupada, I remember, I heard his strong voice, "What do you do for eternity?" Oops. I must admit, I had learned how to play it back. You know, the lecture was a, and I went, let me see, did I hear that right? And I played the recording back, and then again his voice was there. "What do you do for eternity?" He was speaking about eternal life, so it meant something like, "What do you do for eternal life?" And up to that time, I had just been, you know, eating most healthy, sleeping most healthy, with the head in the absolute right direction, and everything, you know, doing exercises and walking and so on. And now I hear this question, "What do you do for eternal life?" I only was active at the moment for the body. Obviously, I chanted my rounds, etc., but most of the day, body care. And I, Hrishikesh Prabhu, this really went right into my heart, and it motivated me. I must preach again. I will preach again. I will serve again. I will do kirtan again. No problem. It will somehow work, and I will do this. I was just so motivated. That motivation gave so much energy to me that I became cured after 2 months already, and was again, running through the world. So hearing lectures, recorded lectures, can be very, very helpful. If you really wish to learn, then Krishna, who is present everywhere, makes a magical effect in your heart. Paramatma, we know, no? The words are not just words, they enlighten us, which come from that, through his devotees. Hare Krishna. Good. Yeah, it is a little bit, can you, well, if it's a short lecture, a short question, but then we have to start the kirtan. Yes.
So Maharaj, you were saying that association with the advanced devotee who has affection, the word affection, how do you actually, can you make us understand that?
Yeah, he is simply interested to help. He's not uninterested to help, because then no transfer of knowledge can take place. Like this. Yes, affection. Not worldly affection, that he just has to like us very much or so. It's not that he's just interested and inclined to help. He is compassionate. He is compassionate, like that. Otherwise, if a devotee doesn't give attention to us, then we cannot even ask the question. We cannot even, like this, in a simple way. Thank you for all of your nice participation, but please don't forget, tomorrow we start to become practical. Yes, so be there, well rested, freshly showered, you know, means fresh, I want to say fresh. Is there anything which we can do to have it a little cooler? There is something we can do. Good. So, all right, we will now set up for the kirtan, I suppose, and in a few minutes we'll start. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So,